All right, everybody. Good morning. Good morning. I spent some time with the people that called in to tell them the revelation that God gave me this morning about some things they need to, pay attention to in the very near future. But I could not stay on the recording because of the dangers of it. But I do have a word for you today. If y'all would turn in your Bibles to Philippians chapter 4. Everybody turn to Philippians chapter 4. We're going to go on a journey this morning. Philippians chapter 4. Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown. And I thought about that. All of you guys are my crown. What a joy that is. I love you guys. So stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. Of course, this is Paul talking. Let me see here. Yes, Paul. I beseech Eutychus and beseech Sinti that they be of the same mind in the Lord. See, right there, one mind and one accord. The beast is doing that too. And I entreat you also, true yoke fellow, help these women which labor with me in the gospel. This is what I'm telling Denise. Help that woman in the gospel. Amen. With Clement also, and with other my fellow laborers whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Y'all heard that song? Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. And he is. What was the warning yesterday? Right? The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing. In other words, don't be stressing and worrying. But in everything, by prayer and supplication. I was reading this to Dennis this morning. I was like, look at here, just confirming your sermons. With thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Remember, I was talking about this yesterday, how in organic Christianity, you have to be real with God. You cannot be fake towards him. You've got to address the problem, not cover it, but address it. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds. We need God to protect our minds right now in Jesus' name. Through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Isn't that beautiful? Those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do it. And the God of peace shall be with you. Amen. But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at the last your care of me has flourished again. Isn't that beautiful? Wherein you were also careful, but you lacked opportunity. Now that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am in, therewith to be content. This is important, bride, because there was a woman that was wanting to go into Bible college. I had to turn her down because her heart ain't ready. She worries constantly. She stresses all the time. She does not understand faith, and to let the Lord take care of you. you're going to have to, you know, how can you go to the higher things if you can't even get past your fear? You've got to get past your fear. Because if you're going to let that stress at this level, how are you going to resist the beast? Because if you're so holding on to survival mode, where you're trying to figure everything out yourself, then you're going to hand it right over to the beast because you can't do it yourself. This is not a yourself answer. Your answer in this end time scenario is to throw your hands up and say, God, but God, I cannot do anything. There's nothing that I can do to free myself from this beast. It has to be God or nothing. You have to have that in your heart. And you will see once we get into the Old Testament story. But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at the last your care of me has flourished again. Wherever, not that I speak in respect of one, but I have learned in whatsoever things I am in to be content. In other words, you can stress so much over your tomorrow. Where am I going to live? How am I going to survive? How is this going to happen? What's going to over there, that you lose the glory of the day? The day, the provision you have today, the state you're in today. Lord, I thank you I have a roof over my head. I thank you we have sunshine today. I thank you that I have food today. I am content, Lord. I am satisfied with what you have provided me today. Remember the story of when God sent me to Washington, D.C. with $9 in a suitcase, had to go without a car and nowhere to live or know anyone there. When I got there, I got off the bus, sat on the bench, and said, now what? I don't know what to do. I'm totally lost here. I'm totally, utterly dependent upon you. So he had three people donate $50 apiece. I had $150. So I was like, whew, I will get some type of dive hotel for $50 on the outskirts. At least I am here. You know, was my mind in survival mode trying to figure it out? And God rebuked me. He said, how much money did I give you, ma'am? I said, $150. He goes, that's the hotel I want you to get. I said, what, all of it on a hotel? I was thinking 3 days survival. He's thinking, what did I give you today? He said, do you not believe that I will give you more tomorrow? Do you not believe that I will be there for you over there like I'm here for you now? Then I was convicted for my lack of faith. Yes, sir, please forgive me. So I got a hotel. God blessed me. I was right next to the White House. It was a 5-star hotel. It was through that price line where it said, we will put you in a 4-star hotel for $100 if you let us pick it for you now. So I went click, you know, just trusting wherever God wanted me to put me. Man, they put me in that one, and I walked in that room, and there was a line of Judah over my bed and George Washington to the left. God kept me like that the entire year I was there. I lived high class. Now, he told me when I was wanting to, you know, go poverty-wise with the 150, he told me, he said, come out of that poverty mentality, woman. You are my bride. You are my ambassador to that city. You let me take care of you. See, my hands and my thinking was all survival mode and starving, you know, poverty minded. I'm going to do this. I'm going to have 3 days, and I don't care if I have to stay in the projects, because some of them did rent out a room for 50 a night in the projects, just so people could go to D.C., you know. And so I was like, that's okay, because I'll minister to these people, and I'll be able to pray for them, and it'll be a ministry at the same time, you know, was my justification. But God said, no, you let me take care of you my way. His way was a whole new world. And when the bride started seeing what God was doing miraculously, they began to mail me suits, clothes, brought me a car. They mailed me hair pieces, paid to have my nails done, paid to have my hair done. Yeah, they took care of me. They knew that the Lord was in this, and they knew that, and they wanted to be a part of it, you know. But if I would have went into the poverty mode, trying to figure it out myself, I would have been in the projects the whole year I was there, and would have probably never been in the White House, and you know what I mean. Take your hands off of it. Let tomorrow be what it's going to be. But what does God have today? Lord, I am grateful for today. I'm alive. I am breathing. I am happy. I am living today, Lord. What do you have me to do today? I am grateful. I am still alive. I am grateful that I am in this end time scenario picture that Moses, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and David and Esther, and you know, all of them are probably watching from heaven right now. And they're watching how we're reacting in this end time scenario. And we want to leave a legacy. You know, we want to be a part of that story. We want the great patriarchs of old, you know, to look down at us and go, wow, look what they just did right there. How cool was that, man? You know, because listen, the technology that they have today, ain't, your guns ain't going to do a lick of good. All the ways that you think of providing for yourself, taking care for yourself, it's compared to what the beast has in store. In the natural, we're not going to make it. They have swarms of you know, these beast things, these swarms that can fly and take people out just like that. I mean, they have such diabolical technology, they can zoom down from a satellite and remove you. Y'all hear what I'm saying? Our only hope is Jesus. Our only provision, our only survival mode that we have is crying out to a holy God. That's the only way we're going to be able to make it here.
No kids yet.
Oh, okay, Papa. Jill has not had the babies, but we do believe that she's in labor because on the sides of her stomach, you can see like a kid on this side and a kid over here because she is just right ready to push them things out. And they're just like pulsating. Her stomach is pulsating. So I'm like, yep, you're in labor. So if y'all would pray for our goat, Jill, she's already given us one set of kids, and now she's getting ready to have another set. She's so cute. And our chickens are doing really good, man. We got 30 chickens. We get about 10 eggs a day now. So they're doing really good. Okay, so anyway, going back to the scripture. So knowing that, you know, God is our source, that's the only way that we're going to be able to survive in the hour we're living in, okay? So let's continue here. Verse 11, I just got to say this again. Philippians chapter 4 is where we're at because we got new people signing in. Philippians chapter 4, and we're on verse 11. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I'm in, therewith to be content. And this is going to be key. I'm talking to you guys in the spirit right now. If you end up in a camp or you end up moved to a different zone, if you spend your entire existence, whether you're there a week or a month, and you're angry the whole time where all you're focused on is yourself, you're going to miss miracles. You're going to miss opportunities. When you are a child of God, you better know this by the Spirit. When you are a child of God, who controls your destiny? God. So wherever you are, be content. Let's talk about Peter. Let's talk about Paul. Let's talk about John. These people in prison were content. Were they in there crying and whining and carrying on because they were suffering? No. What was they doing? Writing books of the Bible. They were about the Father's business. This is how we have to be. Wherever you're at, be content. In your suffering, in your happiness, in your joy, be content. Be grateful and thankful. Okay, God. I remember one time I was in some city when I was on the national tour, the 6 months, 36 states, 18,000 miles. And I was in this city and I was driving down the road. And I was headed somewhere and I was running late and yada, yada. And all of a sudden, something happened and it detoured me and I go off to a dead end road and I'm stuck with these other cars behind me or whatever. And instead of getting mad because of my circumstances where I was running late and I was stuck and everything, I just put my car in park and said, okay, God, you brought me here. What do you want me to do? You've obviously cornered me in, so there's somebody here I need to minister to. Bam! Showed up a homeless man. Yes, it did, with a cart. Man, what are you doing? I was like, bam! Shabam! I could have been sitting in that car all mad because I got blocked in and I'm stuck over here. No, I have this revelation now that wherever I am, there's a purpose for it. I ministered to that man like there was no tomorrow. Yes, I did. I ministered to him, and then after I finished my mission, the traffic opened up and I was able to leave and get back on my mission. Everywhere God takes you, whether it's a camp, whether it's wherever, use it as an opportunity. Okay, Lord, who do you want me to minister to here? My life has been bought with a price. Who is our God and who do we serve? So you brought me here. Who am I to minister to here? I'm here for a purpose. I ain't here for nothing. Okay? See, I know this. Right now I have internet. This is my purpose. I have the opportunity to preach the gospel to you guys while I can. But there's coming a day. This thing's going to be shut down. And then, God, where do you want me next? Okay, if I show up at my door and they take me off, all right, God. I've told you guys about dreams I've had about this, where they come to my door and I knew my time is done with Dennis. I treasure every moment I have with Dennis because I already know what's coming. I treasure it and I tell him, oh, I'm so thankful I have this time with you. Because one day when they come, it will be done. And I will know that I have treasured every moment I've had with him. Because in my dream, I saw when they came to my door, all these thoughts were flooding my head. Oh, I wish I could just call my children. I wish I could say bye to my children. You know, because I knew once I got in the car with these guys, there's no turning back. I'm headed into eternity. And I knew it was nobody but Jesus. No more Dennis. No more my children. It's me and Jesus until I take my last breath. Because he's all I have. So I will be content there. Like I'm content here. Like I was content in Washington, D.C., Columbus, Ohio, Dallas, Texas, Houston, Texas, Los Angeles, California, up there all the way in the state of Washington with 1 foot on the United States side and 1 foot on Canada. When I was up there in the North Dakota, content. What do you want me to do? Because there's always a reason that God allows something. Okay? You just got to ask him, all right, Lord, what do you want me to do? So let's go back to the scripture here. Verse 12, for I know how to be abased and I know how to abound everywhere and in all things. I am instructed, look at this, both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. In other words, I will stand in both sides. Because why? Look at verse 13. This is the word of the hour. Verse 13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And there's people, I was just talking to Jesse about this. Me and him had a long conversation yesterday. And we was talking about our future. And you know, he said, I already know that I am going to go through, that I am, you know, going to suffer. But he's already got his mind set that he can do all things through Christ who gives us strength. Because, see, you have to come out of yourself. This is why the Bible College is so awesome, because it really helps you to have a perspective of who you really are. You have to know that you no longer exist. You no longer exist. You are in Christ. You have been bought with a price. You are now owned by the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. So if you have this revelation that you are no longer your own, and that he has, you know, bought this ship, then you know that you can do all things through Christ that strengthens you. You can go through anything this world has to whip out because God is with you and you can do it. God has a purpose for you, and wherever you end up, there is a reason. God is not stupid. See, this is what gets me about Trump, man. People think he is so stupid. Oh, you know, like that woman I was telling you that wrote that letter, that pastor, about her response to me warning about the V and all that stuff. What did she say? She was talking about how they trust Trump and Elon and they're good peoples. And that they feel like that this whole V thing was a coup against Trump. And I'm thinking, you've got to be kidding me. You really believe that he's that stupid? That he doesn't know what he's... When he calls his own self the father of the V, and he wants his name on everything having to do with it, even the Open Up America Again plan was in his name, even all of the CDC materials they sent out about the V had Trump's name on it. But yet he's been taken over by a coup. Do y'all hear what I'm saying? No. He's not dumb. He is a very intelligent man. And he knows exactly what he's doing. But so does our God. He knows what he's doing. He knows exactly what he is doing. If we will yet but trust him. 14. Notwithstanding you have well done that you did communicate with my affliction, Now, you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but you only. For even in Thessalonica, you sent once and again unto my necessity. In other words, they were tithing to him. They were helping him. Not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. This is a word for you guys about tithing and giving to your person that's helping you. It goes to your account. Fruit that will remain. Remember yesterday when I was telling you guys about the fruit and I saw the vision of the tree in the storm and I was telling you guys that was you? The storm was raging, but yet your tree was solid as a rock. Your tree was standing in the midst of the storm and the waves and all the other things. And your fruit was so big and glistening in the wind. Beautiful fruit that was remaining in the storm. You know, God says if you sow into a prophet, you will receive a prophet's reward. There is a thing about tithing, about money, and sowing and reaping. It's a real thing. Remember I told you about the homeless man, and I needed money to pay my rent when I was in D.C., and I had nothing. My rent was $1,750, which is like $1 million when you have nothing. And I was walking, and this was the day the rent was due, and I was walking by this homeless man in front of the Republican clubhouse they have, because it was right next to the tube, which is the train station. And I was walking by this homeless man. He had a hat out wanting money, and I had five $1 bills. Well, I was going to use that to buy me some lunch at McDonald's. Okay, this is this poverty thing. And I was walking by, and I thought, I'm going to give him a dollar because all these senators and congressmen are walking by him, and they don't care, and they're not giving him nothing. So I'm going to have mercy. I'm going to give him a whole dollar. So I reached in my purse and handed him a whole dollar. I was so proud of myself. Yes, I was. I was walking down that escalator like, look at you. You gave him a dollar. Boy, God got me good. Yes, he did. Bam! He said, how much money do you have? I was like, no, I just got busted by God. I said, I got $5. He said, why did you give him $1? I said, because I wanted to go eat. And he said, go back and give that man all your money. And I said, yes, sir, I repent. And I went and back up the escalator. Go out there to this homeless man, and I tell him, sir, I got to repent to you. I said, I was going down that escalator over there, and God spoke to me and said that I was selfish when I only gave you a dollar, when I actually had $5, sir, so I have to give you all my money. That man stood up and started crying, and he said, man, please pray for me, because he knew I was for real then. So I was like, oh, I'd be honored to. So as I'm praying for this man in front of all these people walking by, I am praying for this homeless man. The sun, remember I told you there's this thing about God and how he does me with the sun. The sun was shining right on my head. It was like God was just kissing me on the forehead while I was praying for this man. And I was feeling just the love of the Lord while I was loving on this homeless man. And you know, giving him a little bit of water in the midst of his hell, you know. And so I walk off, I go down the tube, you know, and I'm sitting on that train, and I'm so proud of myself that I did obey God. I would much rather be in the favor of God than to be on the other side, you know. And so I got off the train, I'm walking across the street, you know, and I get this phone call, and this woman says, ma'am, do you have your rent paid this month? I'm like, no. She goes, the Lord told me to pay your rent. How much is your rent? I said, $1,750. Okay, give me the phone number to your apartment. I'm going to call and pay it. She paid it. So the Lord spoke to me. He says, see, you gave that man $5, and I turned around and gave you $1,750. Bam! There you go. There's that sowing and reaping principle. Okay, so let's continue in the word here. Verse 14, notwithstanding you have well done that you commit. Okay, no, we're all the way down here. Sorry. Now, let's go back to the fruit, verse 17. Not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. But I have all and abound. Uh-oh. I am full. Isn't that beautiful? Having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you. Now look at how their offerings was before God. Look, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice. I got to turn this off for a second. A sweet odor, a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. See, that's what happened when I gave that homeless man $5. It did. It was a sacrifice. I gave him all I had. One time I was in Rhode Island, and I was going to New York the next day, and God had given me $200, which I was so excited about. I could get like a hotel, you know, for $100. You know, here's me trying to figure it out myself again. I can get a hotel for $100, and then I have $100 to spend in New York City, plus gas, so maybe it wouldn't be $100. But the Lord spoke to me, honey, the night before at the church service. He said, I want you to give that pastor all your money. I said, what, $200? You know, back then it was like $2 million. $200? So, yes, sir, I will. So I wrote the check out. $200 and gave it to that man. And I told him, I said, this is all I have and I am happy to give it to you. And I gave it to him. The next day I'm driving to New York City. And of course I have no money, but do you know somebody gave me $400? I got twice as much as I sacrificially gave. All right, so, but I have all and abound. Okay, let's scroll on down here. Okay, a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. But my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Amen. Which, by the way, I want to tell you guys, talking about a sacrifice, we do have a need in this family, Jesse. I need you guys to pray for Jesse. You know, I told you I talked to him for a long time yesterday. Jesse is a good soul. He's a good man. And God took him to hell and showed him, you know, all this revelation about hell, which has helped us a lot. He has a financial need. I want you guys to pray about helping him. He needs $3,500 for an engine for his vehicle. I think he has a van. He is a husband and he is a father. And he has had, this is all recently, he's been through so much. He's had like 3 or 4 strokes. And it's just the enemy trying to take him out. And I want us to come together as a family. And I want you guys to give to him. I don't want you to give to me to give to him. I want you to give to him. I want him to feel the love of the family. Okay? So if y'all want to give, contact me and I will give you his contact information where you can just go through him. But he needs that. And pray for him. for his health. Let's all pray right now. Lord, we just pray right now while we're thinking about Jesse, Lord. Lord, he has this need of his vehicle, Lord, to take care of his family as he's suffering right now. And Lord, I pray that you help us to sow into his life, to sow into his fruit, Lord, that we help him to rise up, to be the mighty man of God that you have called him to be, Lord, so that he can have fruit that will remain. So, Lord, we're just thanking you right now for providing $3,500 for him to be able to take care of his family, Lord, and to travel and do what you have called him to do, Lord. And we just thank you and give you praise, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so let's continue. Now unto God our Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. Salute every saint, you know, which is Christians, in Christ Jesus. The brethren which are with me greet you. All the saints salute you, chiefly they that are of Caesar's house. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. And I thought about that, you know, him saying, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Do y'all know what that means? The grace of God is what we need. And that is what we need, okay? I got your message, Miss D. No, I don't know. But I will ask Jesse. How about this? I'll ask Jesse to give the contact information, then I'll post it in band. I really want us to pull together and help him to get over this funk so that he can go forward. You know, he said he was going to start a GoFundMe account, but I believe he won't have to do. I believe we as a church will be able to help Jesse. Okay. Now, everybody turn your Bible to an important story y'all need to know. 2 Kings chapter 3. 2 Kings chapter 3. Now, Jehoram, the son of Ahab, began to reign over Israel in Samaria the 18th year of Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, and reigned 12 years. And he wrought evil in the sight of the Lord, but not like his father and like his mother, for he put away the image of Baal that his father had made. So you would think, okay, this king got rid of an idol, so he's doing good so far. But something's wrong in this scenario, isn't it? Nevertheless, see, now we're about to find out what he did that offended God, okay? He cleaved unto the sins of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, which made Israel to sin, and he departed not therefrom. In other words, he might have done one thing good, but the rest of it was a no-no with God. See, this is what I'm trying to tell you about partnering with evil. One foot in and one foot out, where a lot of these NAR preachers do that. You know, they partner with the beast and they partner with the Catholic Church and they, you know, they partner with the Orthodox Jews and all that kind of stuff. And I actually saw the heads of NAR the other day in a meeting with all these Orthodox Jews in Mar-a-Lago. And they're sitting there talking with some Jerusalem breakfast or whatever. And they were sitting there up there talking in front of all these Orthodox Jews and not mentioning the name of Jesus, keeping it very generic, God. And they're talking about, you know, all of this Middle Eastern land, you know, country issues over there. These are our supposedly prophets and apostles. They all call themselves apostles over here in the United States, talking to all these Orthodox Jews about what's happening over there in Israel and all their prophecies that they're speaking over Israel and all that. And I was watching them and I was thinking, you people, this is the snake biting the tail. Y'all are talking in the wind, baby. Those people sitting there listening to you don't care about what you have to say, your prophecies, your God, or nothing. They have got their mind made up. You are talking in the wind. You are blowing in the wind. This is the snake biting the tail. They don't care about these prophet liars. They don't care. You can prophesy over them all the goodies you want to. But you're going down with the rest of us. You're not going to save yourself because you're over there speaking all the flowery. Look what happened in the days of old with those false prophets. Come on now. If you have read the Old Testament and you know about the judgment of God, of which I wrote a book on it and I covered this topic, when you know about the judgment of God, what he does with prophet liars and these people that partner with Baal, because they think they're going to survive, they're going to get the worst of it. Oh, no. It is much better to stay on the side of God and suffer now. Because whose image are you trying to save? This is what all of you guys have to get in your head. You have no more image. Get yourself out of the... Yourself has to die. Christianity is death. It's not make your best life now. No, it's not either. That's a lie from the pits of hell. No, your life is dead and gone when you get saved. You are now about your Father's business. Lord, what is the whole purpose of the reason I'm living here? Why am I here? This is going to go by in a fleeting moment, and you chose me to live for such a time as this. So why? So if your face is going to be suffered, then you have to be willing to say, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Because what did Paul do? What did John do? What did Peter do? They chose the will of the Lord be done. We have to know who we are serving, and what the real purpose of life is eternity. We're not in this realm. We're in the realm of heaven. We're already there. We're already thinking of our eternal destiny and our eternal home. All this stuff of money and material things, this is temporary and fleeting. This stuff can pass away today. It can collapse today. All it takes is one little flick of the pen, done, and you are done. And then all of your existence of living for material things and for all of this stuff that this world has to offer is a lie from the pits of hell. What is the truth? The truth is, what am I called to do? What is the will of God for my life? Yes, he wants you to have pretty things. I am not saying that. I'm talking about it ruling you. Because remember, nothing is wrong with money per se. It's the love of money. God knows we have to have money. So it's not that he wants you in a poverty mentality. No, 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 no. When God sends you somewhere, he will probably put you somewhere nice. He will probably take care of you. I have had God put me in a horse's stable where they prepared a prophet's quarters, and it was like living as a king in that place. Yes, it was. And she massaged my feet every night and ministered unto me. Yes, she did. So God, let God be God. But he has your material things. You don't own anything. Remember what the beast says, you'll own nothing and be happy about it. Why? Because he will own you and you will be a slave unto the beast. But see, with us, we are a slave. We are a slave unto our Father. And we own nothing and we are happy about it. Because even if we have that nice car, or that nice house, or all the millions of dollars out there, it ain't ours. Not a bit of it is ours. It's all the Lord's. If you think it's yours, you're still too much alive. You need to die. Lord, well, all that I have is yours. You can do with it as you want. Do y'all hear what I'm saying? Because if you don't let that go out of your heart, the devil will use that against you and push you into Web 3.0, which is where people are going, because that's where the money is going. And they see the writing on the wall. If you want to live in this world, if you want to exist in this world, if you want to go forward, if you want to be rich in this world, you know, if you want to thrive in this new thriving economy, then you have to go into Web 3.0. This is just the trend of what's happening. It looks normal. They're normalizing it. But those that see and those that know that all these people are being carted into the Ark of the Beast. They're being carted into Lucifer, which is why he wants to get rid of their naturalness and make them transhuman, because he wants to take over. He wants to be a part of their temple. He wants to sit on the throne where he ought not sit. That's what I believe it is. Because Jesus says in Revelation 3:20, he says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hears my voice, he will come. I will come in and sup with him." That is salvation. It is you opening that door, making a choice to let him in and now sit on the throne of your heart. When people allow the beast in, they're allowing him to come in to their temple, which we are the temple, to take over the throne of their heart. It's the serpent seed. So let's continue here back to the scripture. So verse 2 says, "He wrought evil in the sight of the Lord, but not like his father, like his mother, just over the image of Baal." But verse 3 says, why? "He clung into the sins of Jeroboam, and he made Israel to sin, and he didn't depart from it either." Remember yesterday when I was preaching, boy, that was so anointed, about your tree being intertwined with the forest when you're not saved. You are a part of the worldly system. You are in the hive mind, basically, because you don't know better. You're in the world. Now, when you get saved, you look up and realize that you have a creator of all things, and you say, uh-oh, there's a real gardener out here. I thought I was just a part of this whole forest. You know, my roots are now, you know, connected and intertwined with all these other trees because we're all in this together, okay? But now I look up and I realize, hey, creator, you know, you mean that I'm a special tree? You mean to tell me that my tree actually has a purpose, that I'm called and I'm meant to come out from among my intertwinedness of all these other trees? But Lord, I'm not really comfortable, you know, kind of stepping away from the normalcy. I'm really not comfortable, you know, being pulled away from my familiarity. I'm really not comfortable, Lord, because I may lose everything. What am I going to do if you ask me to? This is why I fought with God for 20 years and why he rebuked me and said, if you ever backslide again, I'll take your life. Because this is what I was thinking. Oh, Lord, you ask for too much. You just, I just have no control over nothing, Lord. I can't even go to the doctor without you saying, turn right, turn left, go do this, go to this house, pray over this guy. Then the guy comes to the door. I knock on the door. This big old burly man comes to the door. He's like, yes. Sir, I don't know why I'm here, but I was headed to the doctor, and the Lord told me, turn right, turn left, go to your house, and that tell you that God wants me to pray for you. So is that okay with you that I pray for you and obey the Lord? He's like, yes. So I come in. I start praying for that man, and God spoke right through me to that man. I prophesied, thus saith the Lord, and I revealed, which God used to use me in this. I pray, Lord, you bring that back now that I'm thinking of it, where I could pray over people and God would let me know where the severing was that cut them off from God. What was the thing that they left God for? He would reveal it to me. And that's a lot of people got saved because of that. So I was praying with this man. I said, thus saith the Lord, when you was a kid, yada, yada. And I told him. Oh, he fell to his knees, bawling. I mean, he repented, got saved right there. Okay. But that's the kind of relationship I have with God. So I never had control. I was done with, but that's how Christianity is. So I tell you that, you know, I just can't give you that much of myself, Lauren. I want to go to church on Sunday and be in the bar on Saturday night because I'm single and want to dance and meet all these people, Lord. It's so boring being a Christian. You know, you know how the devil lies to you. So anyway, the point is that you have to die, you know. So when you tell the creator, you know, the gardener, you're like, all right, I'm going to give you my tree, but you're going to have to really hold me because I don't know how to let go of all these trees. I'm so intertwined here. Kind of like me trying to get out of the metaverse a few months ago. It took me 6 weeks to get out because my data was everywhere. Now I have it all in a place secure. So whatever I have out there now on YouTube, I don't care. They can have it because now I'm out. Anyway, so when God starts pulling your tree away from all the intertwining you have there, you start feeling it too because they turn around and look at you and start rejecting you, hating you. You're different. We don't like this new you. We don't like you pulling away. So now you're feeling rejected and now you're getting hurt because they're lashing out at you. And it's like your hands are still reaching for those trees. Oh, I want what's familiar. God is pulling me away from you guys, you know. But he's called you into himself. He says, come out from among them and be ye separate. Which means, you know, that he has called you unto himself. You know, he's jealous for you. And that's just how it is in Christianity. See, this is where you get the gold. See, a lot of people don't understand where, see, all your wealth is in your obedience. But it's what do you treasure? Where is your heart? Where is your treasure? Is it in your material things? Is it in money? Is it in status, prestige, titles, yada, yada? Or is your treasure in the Lord? What has he called you to do? You know, where do you find the most joy? Is in your peace, in your realm. This, okay, here's mine. Lord, I am so happy and thankful for what you have given me. Lord, right now, I'm living on this farm on borrowed time. I believe in God. I just got my statement from the guy. We owe $81,000 would pay this off. I'm still believing you for that, God. I am believing you, Lord, to have this thing paid off. So I am living here in a state of contentment, just waiting on you to do it, Lord. Lord, my treasure is in what you have designed for me to do here. And Dennis is preparing this place like a castle. You know, he's working it. He's still out cutting wood right now. He's out there doing it. He has been cutting, pruning, you know, getting everything ready for what we believe God has called us to do in this end time scenario. But we can't move until this place is paid off, you know, type of deal. But the point that I'm trying to say is this. Is that God is the one that when I stood out here in front of this farm, you know, in front of this land, almost 3 years ago now, time is flying, ain't it? And I couldn't see nothing because it was nothing but a forest. It was just covered in brush. and in the vines overtaking trees. And there, I mean, you couldn't see nothing but a little twinkling of a house. And the guy told me, he said, ma'am, I'm going to sell you this, but that house needs to be torn down. I said, all right, you know. And at this time I was single, and Dennis was, you know, not in the thoughts or anything. It was just me standing there. And I'm looking at this forest, and the Lord speaks to me. He says, I'm going to give you the Garden of Eden. I'm like, what? So I leave here, go off to town, get a phone call, and a woman calls me. She goes, I was in prayer, and the Lord told me that he's going to give you the Garden of Eden. So I called that man. I said, I want it. Not even knowing what this land looks like. All it takes is the word of the Lord. Well, I found out that this land is like literally the Garden of Eden. It has four bodies of water. It is like yesterday I walked way back in the woods back there because it's 12 acres. Oh, my. I said, Lord, you promised me a house years ago when I was in Bible college. This is where I want it. This was what was in my dreams. You know, he showed me, but he said, I told y'all this, but he said, because you gave up your house and car for me, I'm going to give you a house better than you could ever imagine, which I don't know how he could now because I believe, you know, this is D-Day year. But, I mean, who knows with God, right? So I tell him yesterday, I was like, God, I want it right here. I see this land. I mean, it's like the promised land back there. It's like this land is just so beautiful. But the point that I'm trying to say is it's land does not own me. This land is God's. It's not mine. Me and Dennis are merely stewards. You know what I mean? We're only going to be here for a fleeting moment. But he has to have somewhere for God's people to come. And this is what's going to happen with this land. So I know he's going to pay it off. But it is the will of the Lord be done. So last night, not last night, it was this morning. See, we've been up since 3 o'clock, so I'm still, you know. But we was praying, and I was praying, Lord, you brought us here. So I am praying over this whole entire street here, that this whole street is blessed, that there's a dome over this entire street. Anybody that lives on this street that works against the will of God, get them out. That's the way I feel about it, because God has a destiny. I prayed angels at one end of the street and angels at the other end of the street, that God would guard this property all the way around, you know, like a circle all the way around. But the point is that the will of the Lord be done. Way out here in the desert, you know, way out here all by ourselves. And, I mean, we do have a neighbor across the street, but you can't hardly see him. You know, we don't have neighbors on either side. And then, I mean, it's just like, when I was back there yesterday, Dennis was like, I can't believe you walk back here all by yourself. You know, because usually I'll ride the lawnmower in the summer. I'm like, yeah, because I'm trying to get exercise and stuff, you know. But I was like, oh, it's so beautiful back here. There's no 5G or nothing. It's like you can breathe. It's like I remember when I was a kid, you know, 9 years old, down in the woods talking to the Lord, you know, waving my feet in the water in the creek. And then 40-something years later when God calls me into full-time ministry, 2013, I'm down on the creek with my feet wading in the water, and I'm still talking to my God. I'm still hearing that same voice, but the journey I had to go through from that point at 50 years old all the way back to when I was 9 years old, you know, is a big journey. It's all been written. But the point is that everything that happens in our life is owned by God. I told you about how God has given me houses and he's wanted them back. Everything we have is temporary. Nothing we have is ours. It's all his, and it's meant for a purpose, you know. So let's go back to the word here. Don't forget, we are in 2 Kings chapter 3. And we're learning about a king who took over the kingdom. And he was not good in God's eyes. He was evil. Why? because he took on the sins of the other forest trees, basically. And God doesn't like that. He wants us being pulled out, our trees pulled out. We are separate. We are called apart. We are meant to be different. We're meant to look different. We're not meant to be tattooed up, pierced up, and look like the people that's in that forest. We are meant to be beautiful, shining beacons and meant to look different, natural, beautiful, you know, and having the Lord shine through us. Because that's one thing I saw when I traveled the country in 2017. This ain't meant to bring condemnation to people with tattoos. It's nothing like that. But I'm telling you, it is a spirit. And you will see a lot of the people that are in NAR, you see a lot of them on YouTube, they'll wear these tank tops that show their whole tattoos. Everything in their life is built around their tattoos. So they will be in the middle of winter on a YouTube show with a tank top on with all their tattoos all over, so everybody can see this glorious artwork. You will see ministers that will be preaching on there like that, and then all they'll do is kind of move their arms all the time to get those tattoos seen. And let me tell you what that is. It's a spirit. Because Dr. Morris taught me about tattoos. He said that it's a blood covenant they make. It is not pretty in God's eyes at all. When they carve that temple, insert the ink, and make a blood covenant with the person that actually carves them. And then they, this image that they put on their temple. And so there has to be a renouncing of that partnership that they made with that blood covenant in which they put on their temple. But you see it all across the country, and NAR is really bad. You will see worship leaders that I saw this at Bethel. They will have tattoos on the inside of their arms, on their wrist, so that when they hold their arms out for the crowd to see their worship, and their focus is on that tattoo, which is really sick. It's really sad. But God wants us to be natural and beautiful, you know, not to carve images on our temple type of deal. Okay, so let's go back to the scripture here. So that's what I mean, though, about what's happening with this king, because he's taken on the sins of the forest. Okay, verse 3, nevertheless, he cleaved to the sins of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, which made Israel to sin, and he would not depart from it. And Mesha, the king of Moab, was a sheep master and rendered unto the king of Israel 100,000 lambs and 100,000 rams with the wool. But it came to pass when Ahab was dead that the king of Moab rebelled against the king of Israel. And King Jehoram went out of Samaria the same time and numbered all Israel. And he went and sent to Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, saying, the king of Moab has rebelled against me. Wilt thou go with me against Moab to battle? And he said, I will go. I am as you are. My people is with your people, and my horses with your horses. And he said, which way shall we go up? And he said, the way through the wilderness of Edom. So the king of Israel went, and the king of Judah, and the king of Edom. And they fetched a compass of 7 days' journey. Now these were the good guys, right? And they went to battle against this evil king. And there was no water for the host and for the cattle that followed him. All right now, bride, here's a word to you. We're in this end time scenario. We're going to battle. God tells you, get up, walk out of your house, and leave everything. There is coming a time we're going to have to do that. We're going to have to get rid of computers, cell phones. Everything's got to go. We are gone. And there's nothing attached to us anymore. Nothing. And God may tell you take off, walk. He may tell you get in your car and go. He may tell you whatever. He may tell you to go to the mountains, go to a cave, do this and that, whatever. There is coming a time where it's going to be you and Jesus. And this word to you this morning is encouraging you that God will take care of you if you will make him your God. This is where the faith comes in. Because, look at this. They did not have water, not only for them, but for the cattle that followed them. And the king of Israel said, "Alas, that the Lord has called these kings together to deliver them into the hand of Moab." But Jehoshaphat said, "Is there not here a prophet of the Lord that we may inquire, see they're going to the Lord for help?" And one of the king of Israel's servants answered and said, "Here's Elisha, the son of Shaphat, which poured water into the hands of Elijah." And Jehoshaphat said, "The word of the Lord is with him." So the king of Israel and Jehoshaphat and the king of Edom went down to him. And Elisha said unto the king of Israel, "What have I to do with thee? And get thee to the prophets of your father and to the prophets of your mother." And the king of Israel said to him, "See, because he's saying, 'I'm not your prophet, get on with your bad self.'" And the king of Israel said unto him, No. "The Lord has called these kings together to deliver them into the hand of Moab." Boy, that was a bold statement, wasn't it? Because he's telling this prophet, who can take your life if he wants to? He has that much power. He can call down fire from heaven. So don't you lie to a prophet. I'm telling all you guys this. I have told you story after story after story of me with prophets. Don't ever lie to a prophet. If they come up to you and they confront you about a sin, immediately repent. Don't deny it. I'm telling you. Don't deny it. Because it may cost your life like Ananias and Sapphira. I mean, we're in this hour. Tell them the truth. I told you about these big time preachers that are being exposed have already had their experience with prophets. God's already tried to deal with them and they refused, or they wouldn't have been in this state, or it wouldn't be as bad or whatever. Do not lie, because they have power. He said, "What have I had to do with thee? Go to the prophets of your father and the prophets of your mother." And the king of Israel said to him, "No, the Lord called these kings together to deliver them to the hands of Moab." And Elisha said, "As the Lord of hosts lives, before whom I stand, surely were it not that I regard the presence of," look at this, "Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah," which is the true tribe, right? The king of Judah, "I would not look at you or see you." Isn't that something? He respected the tribe of Judah. But now we're in verse 15. "Bring me a minstrel." Okay, now is coming the word of the prophet. "Bring me a minstrel." And it came to pass, when the minstrel played, that the hand of the Lord came upon him. Isn't that beautiful? He needed worship. Worship opened up the portal for this prophet to receive from God. And he said, "Thus saith the Lord, make this valley full of ditches." So now he's giving out instructions on how to be victorious in their mission. Remember, I told you after I did the 40-day fast for President Trump. We fought for 40 days. I had 2 weeks rest. And then God gave me four nights of dreams. Four nights. Where he inserted his will. Hold on just a moment. Garden of Eden Ministries, may I help you? Hello? Those robo callers. But where was I at? I was telling you a story. Somebody help me. Ha! That phone call interrupted me. But it is 9:30, so I am in the office. So, what was the story I was telling you? Is anybody out there? I cannot remember this. Help me, Holy Spirit. Oh, okay. So the Lord gave me 4 nights of 4 dreams of assignment. No, Leslie. Leslie, you wasn't paying attention then, woman. Pay attention. I was telling about what happened after my 40 days of prayer with President Trump, 2 weeks of rest, and then I received my assignment, like the prophet's given here. God gives that to me in dreams where he gives instructions on how to do missions. Like he told me on the 2017 tour, get up today. I want you to drive to New Hampshire. I want you to go to the courthouse. I want you to pray over the courthouse, and I want you to say this. Or I want you to go to this city. I want you to do this. I want you to do that. So he gave me 4 dreams of 4 nights of the assignment of the 2017 tour, 6-month tour, 36 states, 18,000 miles. The instructions to be able to do it. So this is what the prophet's given these kings. So here we go. All right. Make this valley full of ditches. For thus saith the Lord, you shall not see wind, neither shall you see rain. Yet that valley shall be filled with water. Isn't this beautiful? That you may drink, both you and your cattle and your beast. Which means this prophet didn't know these people from the man on the moon. But in the presence of the Lord, he sees this. He sees their cattle and the need that they have for water. And this is but a light thing in the sight of the Lord. He will deliver the Moabites also into your hand. I cannot tell you story after story where God told the armies ahead of time that he was going to win this battle. So what is the responsibility of everybody in time when they hear the Lord? Trust that no matter what you see. The word of the Lord goes forth. God is the one that will make it happen. You don't understand how he's going to do it, but you know he said it. Like, for instance, when he told me, you're going to move to Washington, D.C. On my way back from Virginia after doing that National Christian March in front of the White House, declaring that we was a Christian nation back in 2017. I didn't want to go to D.C., but it was a year later because after he told me that, he put me in the desert for a year to rest after my year-long travels across the country and doing all the things I did, the 40 days fasting, warfare, traveling across this country. You know, my mom dies, had that funeral, yada, yada. So I had a lot happen that year. So the next year he had me rest and just receive from him in the spirit. And that's where I wrote them 4 books too, was in that the American Quad about what was happening in our country, chronicling. And then 8 weeks in the prayer closet when he said, now is the time to go, and he downloaded the plan. So that's what he's doing to these guys. He's letting them know, you're going to win this battle. And you shall smite, we're in verse 19, you shall smite every fenced city and every choice city, and shall fell every good tree. Isn't this something? And stop all wells of water, and mar every good piece of land with stones. See, this is where our country is in trouble, because the trees that are in the forest that are rooted in the world, that only see what the world has to offer, they don't see God's will. They don't see the heavenly realm, because we are in a kingdom they know not of. And like I was telling you yesterday, Jesus spoke in parables because he spoke in a language we understand, which is why we need to speak in tongues. This is a very special prayer language that God understands. It is a language the beast cannot interpret with all of their smart AI. They cannot interpret our tongues. If we're in a prison camp, pray in tongues. The perfect will of God. That's what the word says. When you give your tongue, which is the rudder of the ship, is what the word says. That rudder guides the ship. If you're going to speak negative over yourself, and you're going to speak curses over your life of poverty, death, sickness, and the grave, your ship, your tongue is guiding that ship, and that is the direction you will go. If you speak with your tongue, Lord, I thank you that I am blessed. I thank you that I have all my provisions. You know, you're declaring, you're believing, you are speaking it into the atmosphere. What God says about a matter, not what the devil has painted, this picture of the beast that is painted about your life, that he wants you to come in agreement with, so that you will use that tongue to guide your ship towards what you see. But see, in the natural, when you walk in the spirit, we don't go by what we see, do we? We go by what we know. So our tongue is in agreement with heaven, and we speak and declare those things that we know. God, you promised me a house years ago. I'm in agreement with your promise. I am in agreement with you. You said it, I'm in agreement. I am not going to speak what I see. And this is another word I want to say to you guys about your family, your children. The enemy wants to paint such a bad picture to you of them falling off the cliff and headed straight to hell. Basically is what he's wanting parents to believe. So that you will give up on your children and stop fighting. He wants you to stop praying. Shut up. Stop it. Coming in agreement with God over there. But we don't go by what we see, do we, bride? We go by what we know. They are our seed. They are our children. We dedicated them kids when they was little. We know that God is the one in control of our children. So we come against every attack, every plot and plan of the enemy, every spell, incantation, and curse that is spoken over our kids. We don't agree with what we see. We agree with what God wants over them. That the destiny that he wrote before time began shall be fulfilled in our children. They shall rise up, that mighty man of God, that mighty woman of God. They're going to be what God has called them to be. And we are shutting the mouth of that old devil and what he's trying to show us and paint over our heads about our children. No, no, no. you shut up. Because our God has declared over them what he wants over them, and that's what we're in agreement with. They will be what God has called them to be. We call that into fruition in the name of Jesus. They are healthy, not sick. They are delivered, not sick. We are believing you, God, that they are hearing the voice of the living God, that all them old lying devils are going to shut up. All ye lying devils, lying to our children. We pull down every stronghold. We break every chain and break every yoke in the name of Jesus. Believe in you, God, that you have went before them. You have prepared a way and a way of deliverance for our children. That's what we're coming in agreement with. Because the devil wants you to look at that thing and go, oh my God, what are they doing? I ain't believing it. And then you want to call 5 year girlfriends and then tell them all this vomit of what your kids are doing. And then those people that you tell end up building bitter resentment against those kids because they know what they've been doing. I know. And then when you go back and you tell them the light has come and the kids are healed and delivered, and then they're still mad at them over what they know, and they were already offended, so they swallowed the offense. Do y'all hear what I'm saying? So thus we keep our mouths shut about our kids. We cannot tell all these people, you know, what we see and what's happening in our kids. We have to pray about it. We have to fight. We are the gates over our children. We hold the enemy at bay. We hold him back. You know, don't you dare move another inch towards our kids. We are fighting for them, the blood of Jesus over them. You know, don't come off the battle based on what you see, in other words. Okay, so going back to the scripture over here. So let's go back to, 18. And this is but a light thing in the sight of the Lord, for he will deliver the Moabites into your hand. And you shall smite every fenced city and every choice city, and shall fell every good tree and stop all west. So see, he's giving them specifics of their mission, of what they can take. And it came to pass in the morning, verse 20, when the meat offering was offered, so they did their morning prayers, right? That behold, there came water by the way of Edom. Isn't this beautiful? And the country was filled with water. God provided, didn't he? And when all the Moabites heard that the kings were come up to fight against them, they gathered all that were able to put on armor and upward and stood in the border. Boy, they was ready for this old battle, wasn't they? And they rose up early in the morning, and the sun shone upon the water, and the Moabites saw the water on the other side as red as blood. Wait a minute. Hold it. You mean to tell me that the provision from God that the prophet promised that they would have water for them, their cattle, and their beast is now a curse to the enemy, to the wicked? It now looks like blood to the wicked. Do y'all remember what I told you a couple of hours ago? About the revelation that God gave me this morning. What do the wicked see versus what the children of Israel see? Two different realities. Do you get where I'm going with that? Remember the children of Israel when they were fighting against Pharaoh. Old Pharaoh come after them with that old army, scaring all them children of Israel. They were down by the river. There was nowhere to go. and now they're all mad at Moses. What are we going to do? We're stuck. That old angel went around the children of Israel and put up that cloud, baby. And what was that provision of God to the children of Israel? It was their protection and warmth on the side of the children of Israel. But what was that cloud to the wicked? It was a fire to protect his people. Yes, it was. Then God told Moses, take that old rod, put that rod in the water, and that water parted. The ground became dry. God's people walked across that miraculous provision where he had rolled out the red carpet and said, come forward, my children. I have provided for you. When you trust me, you cast that rod. The children of Israel walked across that dry land as they walked by that water that was lifted up high with the whales looking at them and probably waving at them. The sharks looking at them and probably smiling at them. Because they knew that God had provided for those people. So here's Moses with all his people, takes them over to the other side through God's provision. And what happens with Pharaoh and his army? They look down and they see this miraculous provision that was provided for God's people. And they think, ooh, cool. We're going to jump in the water. We're going to jump on that dry land. We're going to enjoy this benefit as well. We're going to go over there and we're going to capture the children of Israel. Charge on, soldiers, let's go. They all get down that dry land. God says, uh-oh, I don't think so. You are not my people. I am going to trouble your wheels. Crash, 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 crash. What is going on here? I have all this trouble in the middle of this blessing. I don't understand. But when the last of the children of Israel crossed over that river and got up on dry land, up on the side of the river, God spoke to Moses and said, cast that rod on the water. And what happened? The floods overtook Pharaoh and his army. Why? Because they were not meant to have the blessing, was they? No, it is a curse on the other side. God's blessing is a blessing on the side of God. On the side of the devil, it's a curse. That's what you're seeing in the word right here in 2 Kings. Yes, you are. Verse 22. Let me read again now with this new understanding. And they rose up early in the morning, and the sun shone upon the water, and the Moabites saw the water on the other side as red as blood. And they said, this is blood. The kings are surely slain, and they have smitten one another. So now, therefore, Moab to the spoil. They're all thinking that all these kings over there have been slain. So they're going to go over there and they're going to take that camp. Yes, they are thinking that. And when they came to the camp of Israel, the Israelites rose up and smote the Moabites so that they fled before them. But they went forward smiting the Moabites, even in their own country. And they beat down the cities. And on every good piece of land, here comes the blessing of what the prophet said right here. The good piece of land cast every man his stone, filled it, and they stopped all the wells of the water and felled all the good trees. Only in Karhaseth left they the stones thereof. Howbeit the slingers went about it and smote it, which means they took the land and the spoil. Now here's Dennis out here, my awesome husband, and he's cutting down, he is mowing down these trees out here in this forest. Why? Because he's picking the choicest of trees to use for his purpose. And that is what God is saying here. Go in there and take the best trees. When y'all, I'm learning so much about wood. See, this forest here is full of cedar trees. Oh, cedar. Oh, I'd love to have this new house built by cedar. Do y'all know how beautiful cedar wood is? Oh, my goodness. It looks like the blood of Jesus. That's the way I see it. It looks like the blood of Jesus on the inside of that wood. It is red and gorgeous. Dennis actually built a fence that goes on both sides of the house over to each shed. It's a like a 7 or 8 foot tall fence so that we have privacy in the backyard. And I mean, we have people ride down the road and stop just to gaze upon those fences. I mean, they will stop here and tell Dennis how beautiful those fences are because it's so unique, just like Dennis is, just so unique, you know. That's the wood that this land offers. Imagine the beautiful wood they had there. And God is saying, take it, come on now. Take all their beautiful stuff that they have over there. Verse 26. And when the king of Moab saw that the battle was too sore for him, he took with him 700 men. Wow. That drew swords to break through even unto the king of Edom. What does this scripture say? What does it say? But they could not. Whoa! Wowee! What a God we serve. Bam, shabam, in your face. Devil trying to pull out your last minute plot against God's people. Trying to pull out a big old army. But God was fighting their battle, wasn't he? So it says right here in verse 26, but they could not. Ha! And then verse 27. Then he took his eldest son that should have reigned in his stead. Oh, this is awful. And offered him for a burnt offering upon the wall. That's so sad. Oh, it's terrible. And there was great indignation against Israel. And they departed from him and returned to their own land. Oh, that man was so mad. That's what it is. Look, this is the king of Moab. He was so mad that he could not win that battle that he killed his own son and then hung him up on the wall for everybody to see. What a farce on an everlasting stick. Oh, that is horrible. Man. They departed. I want to keep reading the story, but I can't. They departed from him and returned to their own land. What a journey have we been on this morning? What is God saying to us? He is saying, children, I'm just going to give you all the gist of it. It goes like this. Children, if you will trust that I am your God, you will be able to face this end time beast because I already know it. I already know the things that these people had planned against you. I already know it. I didn't put you down there to live for such a time for you to run away scared, defeated, and screaming. I didn't put you down there to go crawl up in a cave and die. I didn't put you down there to run out in front of their guns when they come to your house and say, kill me now because I don't want to suffer. Who didn't call you now for you to grab your guns, all of them in your house, and do a big war when they come? Who didn't call you for that? He called you to show in this earth, in the last days, the greatest miracles. We think we have read miracles like the water just appeared from Edom and took up the whole valley so that they could now feed their cattle. How many cattle did they have with them? Come on now. I mean, think about how big this was. You're talking 4 or 5 kings, plus all their people, plus all their cattle, plus all their horses. And the water just flowed. I mean, this is the way I see how God does. I wish I could have a Hollywood display of the way I see things in my head. This is why I try and tell you guys when I do the, you know, when God gives me revelations about the beast, and I try to, you know, do all these artworks to try to show you what's in my head. I wish I could do the same with how I see God. You know, if I could just show you like the epicness of this, an epic production of, you know, all these kings sitting over there, and they just went to the word, you know, over there to the prophet, and the prophet said, yada, 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 it's going to go like this, like this, like this, like this. So now they're all over there like, okay, you know, God says it's going to happen like this. All right, let's just kind of wait and see what God does. Bam! Here comes a big old puddle of water. Grows into a big river. And it just appears out of nowhere. And then you just have all of your cattle out there, you know, and all your, everybody's just being, you know, taken care of and living large while you're just waiting on this battle. But on the other side of that, you got your enemy over there. And the enemy looks at this water and it don't see the same thing, does it? Because the enemy is entwined in the worldly system and its vision is skewed. So it sees blood. Do y'all hear what I'm saying? Glory be to Jesus that we have a God that wants to do. And let me tell y'all something else about God while I'm in this anointing. Number one, God is unique. He does not want to do the same miracles that he did in the days of old. He wants to show you how unique he is, how powerful he is, how awesome he is, how mighty he is, to where your jaw will drop in awe of what he did. This is what you're going to see if you trust him as your God. If you trust in the beast and you become one with the beast and you know, go into global citizenship, then you become cattle and you will be a slave until you die. You will be doomed, really, is what that is. But over here, when the wolf is growling at the door and it's telling you all the different ways that he wants to kill you and destroy you and annihilate you and everybody around you and everything you have, and you're going to be destroyed on the earth, yada, yada. Well, you're over here behind a glass wall. Remember what I said about my dream of being overtaken by the flood and how the people were behind a glass wall of protection while the beast is over there, rah, 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 you know, over there growling. You are in another realm. You can see him growling. You can see what they got planned. But when you lift your hands and you say, God, I know who you are and I know to whom I belong. And my life is in your hands. I am 100% utterly dependent upon you. There is no other. And forgive me for having one foot in and one foot out, Lord. I am trusting you if I lose everything, because your image is more important than my image. I love you that much. And I know that you need vessels in this hour to show the mighty, miraculous move of God. Have got to work with the humans that will say, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Use me, Lord. Yes, Lord. See, all them generals of old that everybody's always admired, you know, Smith, Wigglesworth, and all them. All those guys that saw mighty exploits, women too, all they were is you and me. They were simply average Joes that just said, yes, I am believing you, God, and I am going to say yes. I don't know how to do this. Just, I've told you guys, I don't even have to tell you any more stories. I mean, you know that my life has proven everything I'm telling you guys. When you say yes, how he meets you on the other side of that answer. But in this end time scenario, I got to say this as well. Because I saw something I haven't looked into that Trump is saying about sovereignty. I want to tell you something. There is only two people in this world. Don't let the devil lie to you. There's only two people. There is either the global citizen, the worldly system, and the partnership with that, only one. And then there's the other, the non-compliers. You're either a complier in the Web3 system, which is a whole new ecosystem over here, or you are of a natural origin and a non-complier and refusing to cooperate with the beast. There's only one. There's only two. There's not a third option, because the beast is lying to Christians out here telling them there is a third option. Oh, we've all worked with the, you know, with technology, and look, we have created you guys a special little. This is what they're telling people. I mean, legit companies. They're telling people, we've got a special place in the satellite for you Christians, your data, you know, that we set aside that the beast cannot find you over here. You're safe in this data world over here, where we have all of these keys and everything that's got this door locked. You just have to give us your key, see? It's a lie from the pits of everlasting hell. Anything in the metaverse is of the beast. Anything. Any data, all that stuff is him. There's no hiding out there. There's no, that's like me and Dennis, you know, we'll see like these older movies like Left Behind, or, you know, some these movies where they act like they're fighting the beast. And they're on the phone talking to each other, or they're on a video call that they're acting like is private and the beast can't see them. So they're, you know, having their private conversations where they're strategizing against the beast or the Antichrist or whatever. And I told Dennis, I said, what a farce. What an everlasting farce that is. Because we know anything that is done on the computer, the internet, your phone, all of that stuff is AI. It's all the beast. You may have, and like I told you, they have assigned AI agents. They call these agents like a real deal, an army of demons is what it is. But they have assigned AI agents to every single human. So there's one right here in my data set here in my office that is gathering all my information. And then it sends the information and everything that I do, like on my phones or whatever, it sends a snapshot of who I am in a digital twin form, basically, to the beast. There is an AI beast, the head of the spider, the body of the spider, that all of the data nodes connect to and send information back to the main database. But everybody has an AI agent. So the point that I'm trying to say is this. There is no hiding. Trying to use technology to be safe is a joke. It is a lie from the pits of hell. The beast can tap into that anytime they want. And they record everything that happens on the internet. See, what they have discovered is that the DNA is the best cloud there is. Our DNA, which God created, can house trillions, quadrillions amounts of data in one little bitty set, more than any data center. The human body is a phenomenon. It is a worldwide frontier. It is the wild, wild west where they are at right now. This is Starlink. This is the Space Force, what it's meant for. This is the gonna fly to Mars, what a farce. No, they're talking about the human body. So I'm just encouraging you guys this morning, you know, and anybody listening to this from all over the world, I am telling you, because we have people, I've looked on my data, we have people, I'm going to look at it right now while I'm telling you. We have people in China. How they're able to watch me, I have no idea. But they're to go to our website, I don't know if they're watching on YouTube, but I'm actually talking about my website and all the different countries that are tuning in and listening. And do you know that these morning prayer calls have more listens than any of my news shows? People are hungry. They're hungry for the Word of God. They are hungry for real truth. So let me go look at the nations. Okay, you've got United States, Canada is growing. Uh-oh, Canada. South Korea, China, United Kingdom is growing. Australia, New Zealand. Look at that. But these prayer calls is the biggest thing they're listening to, more than the news. It's really shocking. Puerto Rico, New Zealand, France. I mean, just crazy, but it is. The biggest country out of all of them is Canada. That's pretty cool. Pretty cool. But the point that I'm trying to say is that all of you countries that are listening to this, just know that this affects every one of us. We're all in the same boat. It's all the human-centered design. It's all geared around what is the data coming from the human body. That's why Bill Gates met with Trump. They're getting ready for this next virus or pandemic, whatever you want to call it. And this is why right after he met with them, he had all the heads of the AI and everything come together talking about new vaccines. No, it's not a coup. No, it's not that he's... And there's other people on YouTube saying that Trump doesn't... that he's doing this on purpose just so he can fish all these guys out. What a farce. Y'all people are in so much delusion, it's not even funny. No, no, no. He is the head of the snake. You better know it. You better know it. He says I was a snake. You knew I was a snake. And you took me in. Which means you opened the door and you let him in.
Because remember,
Satan is a legalist. That's why you got to shut that door. You got to renounce. You got to cast it off. You got to tell that thing to go. You got to tell it you ain't in agreement with it no more. And say, I am out of agreement with you, you know, type of deal. All right. So that's all I have for you guys this morning. I'm going to pray for you as a whole. And then I'm going to open up the prayer line for you guys that need prayer. And I will take time with you this morning to pray with you. Or if you just want to make any comments about the past 2 days' sermons, which has been so awesome. What it is, guys, is this 40 days fasting. See, it's almost over. I'm really sad about it. There's 4 days left. Well, it ends on Friday. But the thing is that I feel strength in my body because we all did this. I feel more anointed. Praise be to Jesus. You know, I feel God has done a lot of healing in my heart, especially taking that class with the, you know, the Bible college where they learned about organic Christianity. It really brought a lot of healing to me from what we learned. I went through surgery myself, in other words. But that's why I feel the anointing increasing, is because of what we've all been doing in this time of consecration with the Lord. And I expect to do nothing but get more myself, you know. So anyways, let's all pray. Lord, we just thank you so much for our time together this morning. Lord, I thank you that you are confirming to us, Lord, that you are a tangible God. You are that real, and that you will guide us with your eye. That's what you told us yesterday. And Lord, we choose today to make you the God of our life. To put you at the throne of our heart. To make you the King of all kings and the Lord of all lords. And Lord, we all repent right now about our past, Lord. All the ways that we have offended you by leaning on other gods or trusting in the forest, trusting in the familiarity of the world, trusting in what our eyes see, trusting in that, Lord, over trusting in you. Forgive us for that, please, Lord. Lord, build our faith muscles. Build us up, Lord, so that we can walk by faith and not by sight. That we know that your candle leads us in the darkness, Lord. That we know that you're with us, Lord. And that there is nothing that we go through on this earth that we cannot go through, Lord, without you. And we thank you and give you praise, Lord, for you're worthy to be praised this morning. And Lord, anybody that's listening, no matter what part of the world they're in, our brothers and sisters in other countries, Lord, we pray right now that you just walk in their room and love on them. Let them feel your tangible presence, Lord. And Lord, we just pray peace in whatever storm that they're in right now, in whatever country they're in, the persecution, the hatred, all that stuff, the rejection that they go through over there, Lord. We just pray peace in the midst of the storm. And Lord, we just thank you that we do have more that is for us than is against us. We thank you, Lord, that we have the army of the living God with us. We are not destitute. We have you, Lord. You are the bread of life. You are
the water that we drink, that we thirst after, Lord. We are hungry and thirsty for you, Lord. How we worship your holy name. Lord, we commit our temples to you this morning. From the top of our head to the soles of our feet, we dedicate it to you, Lord. Forgive us for all ways that we have harmed our temple, Lord. And help us to treasure it and guard it like Fort Knox, Lord. We renounce anything that we've allowed in that is not of you, Lord. We come out of agreement with it, and we tell you to go right now in the name of Jesus. You are no longer welcome. We shut that door. You are not allowed. Every devil from the pit of hell, you leave me right now. You go. I am not in agreement with you. All of you repeat after me and say this too. We are not in agreement with you. We cast you out. We remove you. We renounce you. We don't want anything to do with you. We are free and free indeed. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Amen. Remember that one? Amen. 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 Come on now. Amen. Amen. Amen, amen, amen. All right, I'm going to stop the recording and we're going to go around the room. Hey, this is something I need to tell all you guys. I found out recently that they are lowering the satellites, which is going to make this frequency heavier and stronger. So a lot of people are getting sick right now, and it's because of the frequency. They're raising the frequency now 7G, 10G. So we're way past the 5G mark. So this is why. So there is ways to help with the radiation coming to you personally. There's things that you can wear that kind of thwarts it off and kind of cast it back out there, you know, is something I recommend, because we still have a job to do and still living here type of deal. So God gives us herb for our medicine. He gives us ways to, you know, to help us type of deal. So that's all I have.